You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Geeksters, as you can see, we're out in the wild today. But we actually had...
Guess what?
You got?
They can't see, they can hear.
Well, we'll take pictures, maybe.
Semantics.
But we're out in the wild today. Beautiful 7-degree day here on a Sunday afternoon in Ohio, which is amazing for April.
Right. We actually got spring for once.
Yeah. So, but today, Andy Hopp, master of all things Mother Oyth, has, we had a staff meeting for Oddball Con of the Cob. Since that's during our normal recording time, we decided to go ahead and record here right at the end of the meeting.
Yeah, because the Sundays are pretty full, so we had to try and, like, pack it all in like it's a 1979 Chevette hatchback, and we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hello, we are now joined by Mr. Hop himself.
Sup, dogs?
Andy!
I got Mjolnir here. Only those who are worthy can lift this rubber mallet. Let's see if you're worthy, kind
of.
Do it. Oh, you can't even lift a pen. Look at it. You can't do it.
I can't do it.
Let's see if Ken can do it.
It'd be like Vision just walk by and grab it.
Yeah, no. He's wobbling it, but he's not lifting it.
Nope.
All right. Check this out. Oh, man. Damn it. All right, so what are we talking about?
Actually, we're starting off the show. So, Kylan, did you guys do anything today? I know Dawn is not with us today. She's not feeling good, so we're sending all the good vibes through the podcast airwaves.
Yeah, she was doing her hero training at the gym, and I think she heaved when she should have hoed or something. I don't know. So, babe, missing you. And
talking about his wife hoeing and
heaving. Yeah.
You know what? And I just realized what I just said.
I was trying to let it go, and he couldn't let it go.
Like, that go. You know me. She pushed what she should have pulled. I don't know. But, so she's having to recoup a little bit. But, you know, this week was like a really, like, insanely full week. I mean, we got Oddball coming up. Last night hung out with Andy and crew at the Rubber City Roller Girls match, which was their last match for the spring season. But we were telling the good people about Oddball. And it was just insane this week. Just I did stuff, and I just I can't pick out just one thing. It's like this mishmash in my head. I don't know.
But we had some good stuff on our side. We got a chance to... I told you I got to give you the Blu-ray to check out, but we had a chance to sit down and watch JLA versus the Titans animated movie, which was amazing. We actually did a review on our other show.
Right.
So, but I'll let you borrow it, let you see it in a future show. Geeksters will let everybody know what that was like. I thought it was awesome, so...
Looking forward... I like the DC animated movie, so I'm looking forward to watching this one, and especially seeing the... seeing a new 52 take on the Titans and the Justice League, so well, I think it's gonna be fun.
Like I was telling you, the Titans was a little different team,
right?
Because it is the new 52 version. They had five of them on the Titans. Oh, that's cool. But there were five members on the Titans. It was Starfire, really as an adult, or like about right around 20. Mm-hmm. So she was like the den mother for the team.
Right.
But the actual team itself was Raven, Jaime Reyes' Blue Beetle, mm-hmm. with the alien Scarab. They had Beast Boy and Damian Wayne's Robin. And this whole movie, the beginning of it, was Damian Wayne coming to the Titans and figuring out how to be a Titan, being the little jerk that he is. So, anybody who doesn't know, Damian Wayne is the son of Talia al Ghul and Bruce Wayne. He was actually raised by Ra's al Ghul to be the next Ra's al Ghul. So, and then when he's, what, 8 to 10, somewhere in there, Talia yeah. brings him to Bruce. So at this point, he's already an assassin.
Right, and he doesn't get, I take it, he probably doesn't get along with Dick and Tim very well.
Probably not.
So, no. I could just imagine what that Thanksgiving must be like, so.
Well, Vicky actually had to take a walk somewhere. I don't know where she went here at the park, but she wanted to talk about this. Last night, we actually sat down, we got a chance to go see Midnight Special.
Right.
Now, we've mentioned it a couple times on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys mentioned it a couple weeks ago at the Meeple when you did the movie previews.
Right.
That it's an extremely limited release. I think it opened like 25 theaters to start with.
Right.
And then every week they're adding 20 or 25 more theaters to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's here outside of Akron now, and it was amazing. It had a very Starman-type feel.
Right.
It's basically a kid with strange abilities. And it has Michael Shannon, and I forget the other actor, and, she played Mary Jane in the Sony, the original Spider-Man ones, Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
Kirsten Dunst and Michael Shannon are his parents.
Okay.
But the whole movie starts out with a giant Amber Alert that this kid's been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows who put this out, because he was actually this one cult in Texas, which, for some reason, anytime you build a cult in a compound, it has to be in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but this cult in Texas had built their whole religious philosophy around this kid. And what it is this kid randomly will start speaking in tongues, and they'll find out there will be actual languages or random things they've never heard of. He'll start quoting, like, coordinates and dates and times. And what it is the government...
Well, don't give it away, man.
Well, I'm not going to give anywhere near the end. Right. But the government hears these sermons from this preacher, and he's talking about these dates and times, and what it is, it's classified information.
You're lying to me.
Why?
We were going to talk about the movie.
Well, I'm waiting until you get here to tell a little bit. I'm not giving a lot. Vicky made it back, guys. Ow!
As you get abused...
But it was a fantastic movie. But this kid, and the whole movie, towards the end, you find out who this kid is and all the information about it.
Right.
I can't tell you too much until everybody gets a chance to see it. If you don't get a chance to see it in your area, get it on Blu-ray at least. This is good. This is actually a really, really good movie. So, but keep an eye on your areas. It should be coming into wider as we go. It looks like they're trying to roll it out nice and slow. What else did we do this week? Do you remember?
Made green beans.
Went to Hartville. Oh. I got spoiled rotten.
Yeah. Well, tell them how you got spoiled rotten, then I'll tell about my Hartville find.
Did you leave her out in the sun too long?
No. Oh, yeah. You got new parts for your jewelry.
Yeah, Jesse, we brought food over this week and played, what is it, Dungeon Run?
Yeah, and that new Dungeon Run game that I have, the card game.
Yeah.
We played that at Jesse's house.
Cool.
And then she hooked me up, and my creative juices have been exploding. Needless to say, I'm opened an Etsy account.
Yeah, Vicky's jewelry is going to get even more steampunky. Jesse gave her all kinds of, like, needle bearings and snap rings and large pieces to put on.
Cool.
So in exchange, I made her three new pieces. I made her a red piece, a gold piece, and then I made her another with the butterfly and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, that's all I've been doing all week is making.
Well, the last thing that I have for us for this week before we get into why Andy's sitting here, really, is I actually, at the Hartville Flea Market, guys, go to your local flea market, because I found a treasure. I found the CBS Fox VHS tapes of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. I already had A New Hope, so I have the whole set now. They were 50 cents each.
Wow. Did the guy realize that he really like kind of like undersold himself?
No, it was.
He had just the VHS tapes. Yeah, they're just VHS tapes. But it is the only way to get the or the closest you can get to the original theatrical versions of this. So
no, it was a girl, and he bought one and was walking away. And he was mentioning to Jesse how, oh, I've got this and I got this and I just got to look for this one. She's like, it's there.
Yeah, like, I missed it. I had bought Jedi. I spotted it. I didn't see Empire sitting there.
Ah.
So. But it was amazing. I'm going to have to plug in the VCR now and so I can get a chance to watch it.
Right.
So. But let's move on past this. And Andy, you're sitting here to let us know all about Odd Mall. It's in 2 weeks. It'll be, 2 weeks, April 31st and May 1st, right?
No.
What else?
30 days, half September, April, June, and November.
Ah.
That's why so. Ken has a phone on our calendar.
April 30th.
Okay.
And May 1st. There is no April 31st. What's this boy time out? April 31st.
Hey, it's one of those days.
All right. Hey, I'm almost coming up at the end of this month. It's going to be so much fun. Vicky's going to be there. Ken's going to be there. Kylan's going to be there.
Don will be there.
At least Don will be other there. People will be there. Now, there'll be thousands of people there buying stuff, selling stuff, wearing costumes, singing, dancing. We're all unique snowflakes and all, but, you know, at Odd Mall, everyone is an even more unique snowflake, which is not actually possible because unique things are unique and therefore singular. But that's not the point of this conversation. I don't know what I'm talking about. I never do know what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, Odd Mall's coming up. Singing, dancing. Actually, that's not really the biggest part of it, is it?
I don't know.
You said there was some new stuff this year.
230 vendors. We got panels this time. Lots of panels about cosplay. Lots of panels about, like, the supernatural, ghost hunting and such. And other things as well. I said that already, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to reiterate. I'm going to say 230-something vendors.
That's more than you usually have at this point, isn't it?
It's like a lot.
I mean, it's sold out. I mean, your vendors are sold out.
It's sold way out. But if anyone's listening and wants a booth, I'll try to squeeze you in somewhere.
We'll keep the kids out of the room.
Well, we'll just give them another room. Oh. Like I said, you know, 230-something vendors all selling their crazy jazz.
Also, we have cosplay coming back.
Of course.
And we have the giant cosplay competition on Saturday.
That's absolutely correct. Hosted by none other than Kylan and Ken of Geek Watch 1.
Who are those guys?
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
The sexiest men at this table. I would say they're in the top three.
I would say so.
Top three. Yeah. Easily. And, the thing about Kylan and Ken that you may or may not understand.
Oh, we're in trouble now.
Oh, my goodness.
I wonder, if people didn't know you guys, right?
Uh-huh.
And we just posted a picture and said, here's a picture of Kylan and Ken, and here's a picture of Ken and Kylan. But don't say which is which. I wonder how many good people would think that you're Ken and he's Kylan, or vice versa. It's an interesting sociological experience.
I was thinking, for Con on the Cob this year, I may have to shave down to the goatee, and then we could be twins.
Wow. There you go. See? Do that.
That's right. You could be. I really think you need to do a rap battle.
I can't rap.
Neither can Kylan.
No, I can only rap when I'm
ping-ponging,
and then,
The rap Kylan does, he can't put on the...
Yeah, I really can't.
I don't know, man. We had an epic rap battle.
We did.
On New Year's Eve. Or was it my birthday?
That was New Year's Eve.
How do you remember anything from New Year's Eve?
It was epic.
I remember.
It was nice. We had some sweet juice flowing.
I
think we need to do a live...
Dude,
with microphones and audience of 1,000 or so people.
I was in the Matrix. Like the words were flowing.
Managed to rhyme soap with Pope.
I did.
I remember that.
I got hit upside the head with
Pope. Yeah.
Yeah, I rhymed soap with Pope, and it was just...
I rhymed torpedo with DeVito.
You did? I was like... It was smooth.
It was.
I haven't been that good since.
Anybody who gets a chance to check out an Andy Hop party, you don't know what you're missing until you actually get the chance to see
shucks.
It.
I don't know what to do. We talked about Odd Mall so much, these people are probably sick of hearing about it.
Yeah, but we were talking Odd Mall, they weren't.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, we didn't tell them.
Hey, guys out there in TV land or radio land or...
Internet
land.
Did you know
they have the internet on computers now?
Yeah.
What? That's insane.
What were we saying? Odd Mall.
Odd Mall.
Okay, it's 10,000 or so geeks being geeks. We've got arts and crafts focusing on weird and unusual art.
There's comics, games, toys, collectibles, oddities, curiosities, medical monstrosities. I got a couple new sculptures I just did that you guys are going to check out and dig and put money down their throats.
Oh, I know. They were cool.
Thank you.
Reach down there with the one guy's head.
Yeah. Sweet.
His head hole.
Yeah, you can stick money down his head hole and nab yourself some juice. Not juice. I'm using the word juice loosely here to, like, describe goodies.
Yes. You
know?
Yes.
And what else? I don't know.
There'll be a free, actual live on stage Geek Watch One show.
Yes, there will participate.
Yes,
right?
yes.
So, like, are you saying? Is this what you're saying? Is that if you're up there on stage doing your thing, audience members, random passersby, could come up on stage with you and you would interview them?
Possibly.
We've not got the details yet.
Because that would be badass. A bad anus, sorry. if they walked up and you just asked, like, off the wall, wacky.
I just might do that.
Like, someone's walking by and you're like, excuse me, sir. And they'd come up and say, you mean me? And you say, yes, I mean you. Come on up here on stage. They come up on stage
maybe
and you'd be like,
the dachshunds to come on.
You know, tell me about your theory of why the dinosaurs became extinct or something like that. And, you know, that'd be pretty cool. Or have him.
That'd be something to fill up time between acts, too.
And not ask him, why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat?
That's right.
And, you know?
You must do that. Because the thing is, it's all about the people. It's not about the celebrity guests or whatever.
No.
It's about them. It's about everybody. Everyone is a celebrity guest. So if you just find everybody's got a story.
That's true.
You know, everybody's got something interesting. Something that sets them apart. You know, you don't know that guy over there. He might have polka dot underwear on. And you would never know unless you ask him or seduce him.
That's true. I'm not going to do either.
You could just go up and say, "Excuse me, sir, what kind of underwear are you wearing?" And he would either smack you in the face, ignore you, or tell you. He'd be like, "Why I'm wearing boxer shorts with purple polka dots," or something like that. And it's that stuff that people want to know.
You're right. You know.
You know.
Hey, what kind of toothpaste do you use? That kind of thing.
That's true.
Like, what, who, me? I'm on the spot, but now I'm in the limelight as well. The limelight and the spot are synonymous.
That is true. I mean, you have, like, we have listeners all over the world. We have people in
Abu Dhabi.
In
Bujumbura.
And we are still
in Ouagadougou.
The sexiest podcast in all of Czechoslovakia.
I don't know about that. I mean, you guys are sexy. Don't get me wrong.
We are.
But I'm sure Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic. And, you know, they're changing their name.
Not the Czech Republic.
Oh, the non-existent.
Yeah, the non-existent Czechoslovakia.
You're also the
sexiest. Way to point out the joke.
Siam and Prussia.
Formosa.
Right. Zaire. Oh, let's talk about places that no longer exist. Go.
USSR.
Chad's still around?
Chad's still around. He just owes me $10. But yeah, Chad's still around.
So, actually, while we have you here...
you know, Cameroon is for...
Wait a minute. This is supposed to be an inside joke that I'm assuming we don't want to go into.
It's not Ken-friendly.
It's not, no, it's not!
It's not Ken-ly.
Oh, my God!
So I'm going to sit over here and choke to death.
Vicky would like it, but it's not. Kylan, look at the table is vibrating with Kylan's laughter.
Kylan's got the silent laugh going. Just wait. It's about to be released. Come on, Kylan. Let it go. Let it go, Kylan.
I can tell that story if you want.
It's not a Geek Watch 1 story, I'm assuming.
It's about Gen Con.
No. I know what story this is probably, so no. No, we're not going to that.
I wouldn't say the word.
Yes.
Okay. It has the F word, so we won't say it.
Well,
Geeksters,
as we said, in 2 weeks, we have a live show at Oddball. It'll be on stage either Saturday or Sunday. We'll let you guys know the details. But next week, we have another live show. We're just two live dudes.
We're two live dudes!
That's our new rap group.
Me and my homies like to play this.
So...
No, you can't. I gotta see if I can find a T-shirt for Cameroon.
All right, I'm gonna go play some badminton, guys.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Hop.
Peace out, my brothers, or whatever the people are saying.
Well, next week, guys, remember this: it will be the last Monday of the month, April 25th. Yes. April 25th, we're going to be doing our Meeplecast.
Yeah, but see, the interesting thing about the 25th is April 25th. You take 25. You multiply it by 2, you get what?
50.
And there's a special thing about the number 50.
Two special things for this show.
Yes.
This show will be episode 50 of your favorite geeky podcast.
Are you 100% sure on that? Because you're going confused.
This is issue 29. Next week will be issue 50 of Geek Watch 1.
You said issue 29.
Did I? You said
29.
Okay, 49. See, that's what happens when you make me have to talk about numbers. I can do math all day, but I can't tell you what they are. But this is issue 49 of Geek Watch 1. Next week is our 50th anniversary. 50, Kylan.
50.
We're halfway to 100.
We're halfway to 100.
You know what? I'd say probably 75% of podcasts that start don't make it to 50. What?
75% of podcasts that start don't make it to 50.
How many do you hear about that get like 10, 12 episodes, that's it?
That's true. There's a lot that like, you know,
they have a term for that. It's actually called pod fading.
We in pod fade.
No, we're still going strong.
No, we are. You know, we're... No, I mean, we you're talking to the podcast. Talking about the podcast that started off once a month, then went bi-monthly or bi-weekly, and now we're weekly, and we're doing everything.
Speaking of weekly, my new blog.
New blog. Well, tell them about the new blog. Let me finish we're talking about. Wait, let me finish this, and then we'll talk about that. There's another special for this episode or issue 50 podcast. It's another 50th anniversary.
Yes, it is.
This year, if anybody didn't know, is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
You weren't going to talk about that till next week.
No, well, I'm not going to talk any of the stuff we're going to talk there. But this is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year. We have, in 50 episodes, not talked Trek yet.
We have not.
So, next week at the Meeple is all things Trek. From the original series all the way through to the J.J. Abrams reboots.
Including the animated series as well.
I need to watch some of that.
Yeah.
I've not watched it.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we're going to hit... Most people don't realize, I have almost just about as much love for Star Trek as I do Star Wars.
Same here. You know, it's... we're going to be sitting here talking about... we're going to be sitting here talking about a series that really, when I was a kid, was... Basically, it had a similar fandom and following that you have with... Firefly, because we're talking about a franchise that was short lived, but managed to continue to survive in syndication, and then all of a sudden it found a second life in movies, and well, I think you had novels going on at that point, but then that second life kicked into movies, and then just grew from there.
You know, it's an interesting correlation I've noticed just sitting back thinking in the last couple of weeks was when I was a kid, Star Wars got huge when it was released.
Right.
And Star Wars lasted to about 85 or so, and it started to die off.
Right.
And as soon as that did, Star Trek The Next Generation came out.
Right.
And Star Trek was huge and kept going until the late 90s.
Right.
When all of a sudden you had Star Wars again.
Right.
And Star Wars has been riding the tide now for a certain amount of time. And so I'm wondering, when is that going to come back down, or Trek's going to take that spot again?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's weird, because you look, the ups and downs, they kind of...
It does. It makes sense, because for some reason, and we're not saying, I don't embrace the whole Trek versus Wars
I have love for
feud.
Both.
I don't understand.
This show has love for both.
Yeah, we have love for both. I don't understand why. You're almost talking about two completely different... Star Trek, for one, is science fiction.
Yes.
Star Wars is technically fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not... People call it science fiction, but it's actual fantasy.
Yeah.
But, you know...
That's... A lot of that is because geeks in general like to have stuff fight.
Yeah.
Because you have Trek versus Wars. You have DC versus Marvel. You have all these other ones like that. Yeah. Harry Potter versus Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I guess you have to... But I have love for both. You know,
that's
and...
because people always want to find out who's got the bigger stick.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Go ahead. If you look at Star Wars and Star Trek, you're right in that Star Wars is technical fantasy. It's not really science fiction. The thing about Star Wars and Star Trek is that they're based on very different outlooks of the universe. Star Trek, particularly when you get into the Next Generation era, is an optimistic outlook on humanity and its basic nature and how it interacts with the rest of the universe. Star Wars is much more cynical. A good kind of comparison would be the different outlooks in the future between George Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World.
Yes.
They're very different. They both kind of describe the same sort of thing, though. Mm-hmm. This future society, a man reduced to essentially a machine part, and they approach it from completely different ways, and then you can throw a Heinlein in there, and that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, right.
But to reel it back to Star Wars and Star Trek, Star Wars is, at its heart, this... Because if you look at Star Wars, you have a very chaotic universe. Mm-hmm. You have, on the fringes of society, you have slavery, you have exploitation, you have freebooting, you have black markets... but then the government that you have, primarily in the original trilogy, is the Empire, which is the epitome of everything that's wrong with the government. Now, I'm not anti-government or anything, but you know, it's this kind of ideal of extremes.
Right.
You have an extremely authoritarian government, and that's bad. But the parts around, you know, outside that government aren't really better. They're just different. They exploit people in a different way. Right. Star Trek has a much more optimistic view. You have the Federation, which is very, for lack of a better term, humanitarian. And, you know, you don't have money in the Federation. You have people bettering themselves. And there's a whole episode about that.
Right.
And the parts outside of that, you kind of start getting into that Wild West. And that's what DS9 was about.
Right.
You know, you have this interaction between civilization and the wild and everything. So they're very different. So if you're getting into one versus the other, it's really apples and oranges. You get different things from each one of them.
But
the people who get one thing out of Star Wars don't understand necessarily always what people get out of Star Trek. They look at Star Trek and go, well, what's interesting there? You know, there's no real action, there's no, you know, conflict between the characters. I mean, Gene Roddenberry, in setting up Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1, told the writers that they couldn't have interpersonal conflict on the characters. He told them that. It was in the treatise, and it's why the first season of Star Trek, The Next Generation, you never see anybody fighting over anything.
Right.
You know, you never see people, like, being pissed off at one. You never see Riker just kick open a door and be like, you did this thing, you bastard, and smack Data up the head or anything. It just doesn't happen.
Well, everybody seemed to, and you're right. I mean, we're in this, it seems like in the 23rd century, I believe.
24th for Next Generation, 23rd for original.
So by the time you're in the 24th century, the Earth has conquered poverty.
Mm-hmm. It's a post-need society.
Yes, so...
And actually, there's a great documentary that's kind of a pseudo documentary on Netflix, made by William Shatner, about the first couple seasons and the starting of Star Trek: The Next Generation, because it was really kind of a tenuous thing for some time. Mm-hmm. And they went through several actors looking for a Captain Picard, and they had Patrick Stewart come in, and he had apparently a really bad toupee on.
Right.
And when he did his first reading, and Gene Roddenberry asked him to come back, and he'd already taken it off, and instead of putting it back on, they're like, no, just come in and do it. And he did it again. He nailed it, and Roddenberry loved it. And the producer, the executive producer, told him, you can't have a bald starship captain.
Why not?
And Roddenberry's answer was, in the 24th century, they've stopped caring about that. And that's... for me, sums up Roddenberry's humanist utopia ideal of Star Trek Generation. That people have risen above those things.
Yes.
It doesn't matter and you see this in the original series. It doesn't matter that you're Japanese, doesn't matter that you're black, doesn't matter that you're a woman, doesn't matter anything. What matters is your capability, your skill, are you good at your job? This is epitomized in characters like Uhura.
Yes.
You know, and she was very important at that point because here she is. She's a, not only is she black, she's a woman.
And she's a command level.
And she's a command level bridge officer. She's in the chain of command.
Yes.
At that point. And not only that, she's in charge of a very important station. It seems like she's just a telephone operator, but think about it. She's the main communications officer. Everything, every bit of information that comes into that bridge goes through her.
Yes.
And that's really important. Mm-hmm. Sulu, Japanese-American, 20 years after the end of the Second World War, and here he is piloting a starship.
You have Chekhov during the height of the Cold War, Russian, as your navigator and your weapons officer.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is during like the Cuban Missile Crisis mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah.
It was really, when you said you think about it, it was such a groundbreaking show, and I think it truly was ahead of its time. But luckily, it hung around the fringe long enough for people to finally catch up to it. I think that's what happened.
But again, you compare it to Star Wars, and Star Wars has a very different outlook on the universe.
It does a very different thing.
And in Star Wars, race isn't as much of an issue. But it's because the world is kind of super saturated with differences. And
instead
so people,
of full race, you have a lot in Star Wars. You get a lot of the Empire. Usually, if you get into the books, mm-hmm. you see that the Empire was very human only.
Yes. Yeah.
Very anti-alien.
Yes.
So, but that's one you got to dig a lot deeper into find.
Yeah, and it's where you get some really great. You get some good science fiction mm-hmm. out of that fantasy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you read, like, for instance, the Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, here's an alien who worked his way up through the human-centric anti-alien ranks and reached a high rank. And when the Empire buys it, for lack of a better term, he steps up. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of takes charge of it, and it's kind of interesting.
Well, Geeksters, you don't know who this is. You've never heard this voice on here. This is Rick. He's actually the newly minted Master of Gaming for Con on the Cob.
Yes.
So what kind of good news do we have for getting away from that for just a minute? Because we're going to be talking this. This is a taste of what you guys are going to get next week. So don't go anywhere.
No, I'm just...
But, Rick, why don't you tell him what are some of the plans for gaming for this year at Con on the Cob?
Oh, well...
You guys have been sitting there for an hour talking about it.
Well, gaming at Con on the Cob is always a huge deal. I mean, it's frankly... 60% of the con seems to be, at least by real estate,
pretty much,
gaming. So we have a lot of role-playing games. We have a gaming library where you can borrow board games and card games and things like that. And so, you know, if there's a card or board game that you've thought about buying and want to try before you do it, come con cop, try it out.
Talking about nerd stuff.
Yeah. And... And you could take that, but there's also 100% free role playing games. You know, we don't charge. We're not Dragon Con, and we're not Gen Con, and we're not Origins.
Yeah, all of our games are free to play, guys. When you show up,
mm-hmm.
and with the paid badge, obviously.
With the paid badge, obviously. But you know, we have a lot of gaming. I mean, there's always dozens and dozens of role playing games going on at any given time of day and everything, and it's everything from Shadowrun to Supers to Lord of the Rings One Ring to I've seen people play Pendragon. Lots of Call of Cthulhu happens because we have an entire room that's nothing but Call of Cthulhu, run by the great guys at Rogue Cthulhu.
Well, we've also got whole rooms dedicated to Savage Worlds. Living Forgotten Realms, I believe, has a room, don't they?
I think they have a room. The Pathfinder Society runs their own room. And there's usually a pretty strong Shadowrun presence.
Okay.
And so it's everything. But it's like last year, I played a Battlestar Galactica game.
Awesome.
You know, and I've played in Firefly there.
Well, our friend Rick Shanteri, who is the official DJ for Geek Watch 1, actually usually runs Doctor Who.
Yeah. I've seen Adventures in Time and Space. Pretty much if you name a role-playing game, then somebody's either likely running it. And I'll tell you right now, if there's a role-playing game you want to play and you need players, sign
up.
Is
there anybody running the Dallas role-playing game?
I don't know.
There's
a few role-playing games I admit I have not seen. I've not seen the Ghost Dog role-playing game run there.
I would love to play Ghost Dog.
I have not seen Wraith played there.
I haven't seen Top Secret played there.
I have not seen Top Secret. I have not seen the Street Fighter role-playing game.
I forgot about the Street
played
Fighter
there, or
game.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, the reason I brought
I have seen Cyborg Commando run though.
Ooh. Oh my gosh!
Well, the reason I brought up Dallas was actually Kylan saw, what was it, last year?
Yeah, last
Someone
year.
Someone in the silent auction brought a copy of Dallas.
Oof. I remember that. I saw that.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like, no.
No.
I was this close to buying it and giving it to my sister because she was one of those people that watched Dallas religiously. And I was this close, but you know what? I love my money too much to I just couldn't. And I respect gaming too much for that.
Well, the other thing that's good about Con of the Cob is that there isn't just gaming. There's musical guests.
Yes.
There are parties that'll knock your socks off.
Tons.
I don't say that lightly. We have great parties. We have a huge dealer's room, massive dealer's room with everything you could possibly want, from books to jewelry to chocolate to whatever. And there's mini golf. So, yeah. But we also have a great kids room, great kids track. So it's, if you're a gamer and you got kids, if you're our age, you got a couple of young ones, you can bring them and they're not going to be bored.
Nope.
They're going to have fun. Cause we have some great staff who are dedicated to just that and
there's an all ages party.
And there are parties and there are even parties for the kids. There's an all ages rave that happens and, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most fun you can have in a hotel with that many people.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sitting in with us, Rick. Rick, anytime you got something you want to talk about, or actually you got something to plug you wanted to plug your stuff.
It's very selfish. I apologize.
That's
for
fine.
Well, it's great.
Anybody who doesn't know, Rick is also a game designer.
I am a game designer. This is a thing for my wife. My wife is an artist. She's a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a Kickstarter going right now. So my wife ran for 4 years. She ran a webcomic called Tile. Very surreal, very thought-provoking, very silly webcomic, all ages, but there's definitely stuff there for everybody. She has a Kickstarter going right now, and it's for a compiled color, perfect-bound volume anthology of the five published Tile books plus a sixth book that it remains to be written, but she is working on right now, and it's called Tessellated Tile. It's really cool. I ask if you want, please check it out. You can get to it by going to silverkraken.com/Kickstarter. That's silver like the metal, kraken like the great big tentacly thing in the ocean, and then /Kickstarter. And it's, there's some great stuff on there. We've got 3D printed bookmarks. We've got signed books, sketched in books, original panels from the books themselves, and a lot of good stuff.
Okay. Well, if any of the listeners actually wanted to see any of Marianne's work, where could they go on the internet to do that?
Well, her website is silverkraken.com. You can actually read the original run of Tile completely free from that website. She also has a current webcomic that she's running called Xylobone Tomes.
Okay.
Which is a fantasy webcomic. It updates right now on Thursdays, just once a week, but that's because she's busy working on Kickstarter stuff and getting all that sorted out and ready.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on. Like I said, anytime you guys want to plug something, you guys are friends of the show. Anytime, just let us know. We can Skype you because you're a little farther away, or if you're in town, we'll just have you on the show again.
Yeah, gladly.
And definitely, a Con on the Cob will have to get you in here.
Seriously, yes.
I will totally expand my opinions about stuff.
Awesome.
At the drop of a hat.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Well, if we continue like we did last year, hopefully we'll be able to do a better job of keeping up with the morning.
Yeah, the twice a day
Yeah, you know, those morning ones get a little rough as the con goes. Like Thursday, yeah. Friday, yeah. Saturday,
it's Sunday. Sunday's like,
well, okay, to be fair, though, Friday night, you party. And then Saturday morning comes around, and kind of the cob, the parties, they can do you in.
They
Rogue Cthulhu party last year. That took its toll.
I bartended from 6 p.m. or 9.
Your guys' party was pretty awesome.
9 till 2.
Thank you.
That's what I thought was awesome. That we actually Rogue Cthulhu was the same time as ours, but ours started 2 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
So it gave them a good blend moving into their parties.
Yours was a great warm-up.
Yeah.
A great warm-up.
Most of them were going back
before. It let me get my liver starting to get into shape so that then I suffered mightily for my hubris.
I've already planted the drinks.
Yeah, she's planting new drinks for this year.
Yeah.
So
I don't see the presence of brownies, but maybe there'll be something else.
No, we got got to be an annual thing. We got to have a brownie bake off.
Do we want to start? We can start pushing the brownie thing again.
That's right.
You think so? We have to start pushing the brownie.
Right. Cookies.
You have to remind me about it.
Brookies.
I'll make some brownies.
Brookies. Okay.
We can do brookies.
Well, Rick, thanks for being on the show. You guys can go to silverkraken.com to get all of Marianne's awesome work. And silverkraken.com/Kickstarter is the Kickstarter campaign.
Yep.
So check that out, geeksters. And now next week, I can actually move over. Vicky, what's the name of your new blog? And tell us a little bit about what direction. The interviews dried up. I mean, she looked everywhere for more interviews, but they kind of dried up on us.
I was so, like, close to, like, start making things up, but then I got in trouble because you didn't like my Minnie Mouse one.
Yeah, and then that.
Yeah, she had wrote a fictional interview with Minnie Mouse, and you never know which direction that's going to go.
Yeah,
especially with Vicky's sense of humor.
It went down the dark hole. In the hole, and I got in trouble.
Then we had to plug up the hole so the interview wouldn't come back.
What's the name of it now? Was it Into the Unknown?
Into the Unknown.
Yeah, Into the Unknown. It's the Wednesday blog on GeekWatch1.com.
And when this comes out, part two of my story on unicorns. I'm running 4 weeks of unicorns.
And you guys will have to check out GeekWatch1.com for the title, because I don't know if it's safe for airwaves.
Nope.
The title for her second one.
Oh,
but
okay.
Overly vulgar, but it's more than I want to put on here. So.
No,
we'll leave that for them to see. But the first one was actually just an introduction to unicorns. So give us a little bit about that.
I started off with 9 pages, and then I had to break it down to 5. And then I was told that's too much, and then I had to, like, gut it to, like, a page and a half.
Yeah, it was a little long.
Yeah.
But there's so much actual real history on unicorns and not just...
That's why she's doing a whole month of unicorns.
Yep. There's so much actual history.
Well, Bart has now joined us, guys.
So,
you guys know Bart.
One last thing.
What?
Read my blogs. Read and leave a message.
Yeah, leave a comment afterwards.
I don't think anybody ever comments on them. They really do, because we need to hear from people.
Yeah.
I want to know if you like my big sarcastic balls or not.
The big sarcastic what?
Balls.
Oh. Okay. Well, I think that takes care of most of the other stuff. We actually did have our friend Greg decided... We didn't notice this because it dropped off. Do we want to talk the other trailer first, or do you want to just cover that next week?
You know what? I'll talk about it right now real quick.
Okay. We had two trailers drop last week.
We did. The first one I want to talk about is Doctor Strange. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I started to watch it on my phone, and then Dawn said, no, you need to see it on a bigger screen. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to see it on TV anytime soon. So I waited until I watched it on my laptop. We're talking about next level Inception kind of...
That's it right there. If you watch this trailer, it's very Inception.
Yes, yeah. The
world wrapping up on itself and
like
things.
The trailer only exists in our dreams?
Kinda.
Like, you know...
Well, you remember the part in Inception where the world kind of starts folding on itself? That's kind of... They do this in the trailer of here, too.
It's a very twisted and weird.
Yeah, it doesn't look like your typical Marvel movie, and I think it will change the way Marvel movies are viewed.
It's very reality bending,
and as it should be when you're talking about Doctor Strange, that's where it goes. And I think that any concern that there was about the introduction of mystic level magic into the Marvel universe, any concerns were done away with the quality of this trailer.
Yeah.
So it was top notch. I had to watch it two or three times, and you know, Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, he's
fully embraced this character too.
Yes, yeah. Any man that will go and buy comics of the character that he's playing while he's in costume.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm like, dude, that's next level cool. So
this is the only thing I can actually compare this to somewhat is Guardians of the Galaxy. Because Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those that everybody was like, you know what? This is a total departure from what they've done before. Let's see what they do.
Right.
This is another one that's a departure from superheroes. Let's see what happens.
Yes.
So.
And it's going to be it's going to be really interesting because to a certain degree, magic kind of figures into Iron Fist, into that world too. So I think that looking at how it's handled on the big screen will give you a better idea of what we're going to be seeing on the smaller screen once the Iron Fist series comes around. So I'm excited.
It's going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
So, but we had another trailer drop, and because of that, we actually have our friend Greg. Greg, for the entire year and a half or so we've been doing this, or year and 4 months, has been wanting to do this talk with us. We've just not figured out time to do it. Well, we have you now.
Hello.
And with this trailer dropping, it's a perfect time to talk Godzilla.
Godzilla.
It's another one we've not talked about much, but all of us here love Godzilla. I mean, how can you not love a character that's been around? How many movies are there now? Do you have any idea?
It's around 30, I believe.
It's right around,
30, yeah.
Including one American one that everybody wants to forget. Which is actually not bad.
Right. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, had enough Godzilla in it to, he destroys things.
And as I said earlier, for me, the 96 or 98 Matthew Broderick one?
Yeah.
For me, it was not a bad monster movie. It was a terrible Godzilla movie. If you don't put Godzilla on the title, it's actually a pretty good monster movie.
And I don't feel that Matthew Broderick was very good at being a Greek person in that movie, so.
He was supposed to be Greek?
I believe so. Yeah, no one knew. It was the amazingly bad accent.
It was the bad, the last name's the only thing that made him Greek. The last name that no one could pronounce.
Exactly.
Totopolis or whatever it was.
Yeah. But Godzilla Resurgence, which is the Japanese movie, the trailer dropped earlier this week, I believe. It is coming out in Japan in end of July this year. And it is the first Japanese-only Godzilla movie since 2004. Sorry.
Yes.
So
this is his Final Wars.
Since Final Wars, yep.
The Final Wars, I thought, was a fantastic movie myself.
You know, it was. It was a good romp of just seeing them cram every monster they could possibly cram into it. And a great monster.
And this one, and that one, I think, was kind of a good, because it was originally supposed to be the last Toho Godzilla movie, wasn't it?
They had said that. They were going to rest him for a while.
So this actually, that one actually felt, it was an old school rubber suit Godzilla movie.
Exactly.
And you could see the rubber suit, you could see that it was the models he was killing, and that's what you expect to see from a Godzilla movie. Exactly. This one, from the trailer, doesn't look like that.
No, they still have, I believe, it's still a guy in a suit. I mean, it looks like it. But with CGI and them actually using, in the trailer, real tanks and whatnot, it looks phenomenal. And the design for Godzilla is pretty impressive. They've created, like, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so they've created this committee in Toho that is going to steer Godzilla movies for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And for this particular one, they have basically everyone who's worked on Attack of Titans and Evangelion. working on this. Okay. The director, the composer, the designer of the Godzilla suit. So, it's you know, it's fairly big budget. It's big budget for a Japanese movie. But sadly, so the trailer drops and the trailer's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really get much other than Godzilla being pretty awesome, walking through places. And then like a bunch of Japanese people running.
The tail swinging over the buildings.
Yeah,
is all
opening shot of the trailer was amazing because you're sitting there in one of these like suburbs of Tokyo or something, and you look up and you just see this tail glide over top of the buildings. Doesn't smash anything; just glides over the tops of them.
Yeah,
and keeps on going. It's amazing. It's a good shot for scale. Because in the original movies, you really don't get a good shot of scale for the true size of what Godzilla is.
Right.
Other
it was
than
much
the fact
smaller
that he's killing.
Too.
Yeah. And other than the fact that he's smashing and stomping on buildings. This, he looks like a ginormously huge creature, and it looks realistic.
Yes. And he looks very angry, which is what we would expect.
Well, yes.
And the design with the, I don't know, the cracks in his skin, hide, you know, that look like lava or whatever, or like he has extreme dry skin and probably needs to moisturize. I would probably be really annoyed, you know, if I had cracked skin like that, too.
Especially getting the salt water in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it looks like an amazing movie. At least visually, it's going to be stunning. Obviously, we know nothing about the storyline. Well, very little about the storyline at the moment. Other than this is going to kind of relaunch the Japanese Godzilla franchise. And unfortunately, I guess I was looking around, and there doesn't seem to be any information about a release in the United States yet for this. So, or at least a North American release.
Well, looks like probably, we need... When is the Japanese release?
It is, I think it's July 29th of this
year. Well, that gives us plenty of time to get our passports and take a trip to Japan.
Exactly.
I have my passport, so you know.
Well, there you go.
So you'd be set.
Yeah, I'm going to Japan to watch a Godzilla movie. So,
if you haven't seen the trailer, I would go and see the trailer.
Yeah.
And find it. It said all of fine internet locations that you can possibly find.
I found it on YouTube today. Just you start typing in Godzilla, and Godzilla Resurgence pops up. So...
But you said it started trending like the day it was dropped.
Yeah,
right.
It was because Godzilla seems to have a decent amount of renewed interest since the 2014 American Godzilla was pretty well received. And with Japan doing this, it's kind of like, oh well, good. Now we're going to be getting American Godzilla, which is pretty good, and we're going to be getting Japanese Godzilla, which is it's Japanese Godzilla.
Yeah.
So to kind of have one franchise but with two separate movie franchises within it. I think is a really great time for, you know, people who love kaiju films.
Yeah.
And with it dropping, it was like all over the internet as soon as it dropped, especially in North America, which really surprised me. I knew that it was pretty significant following, but there's a lot more. There's a renewed interest in Godzilla since 2014, and I think that's only going to help. And if the storyline is even half decent, then I think we're set, because Godzilla himself, he looks like a totally different take.
Yeah.
I've seen anything before, but amazing.
Like
as well.
I was saying, what impressed me about this trailer was the straight up fact that it is a guy in a rubber suit. But looking at the trailer, he doesn't look like a guy in a rubber suit.
No.
The realism that you've not had from Toho Godzilla is here.
See, I'm assuming, I think I've read everything, they always talk about that guy in the rubber suit. I'm assuming he's probably enhanced with some special effects, but it doesn't really matter. He looks fantastic, so.
They find, what it is I think the technology in the CG has finally got to the point where they can clean it up enough that you can't see the difference. That's what it is. So that, and the fact that, like you said, instead of seeing obvious model tanks and model trains... They use real tanks in this. They use real artillery guns. They took shots of all this stuff that is actual real military equipment. The helicopter shots. You know how expensive that would be just to have that many helicopters in the air?
Right.
I mean, helicopters are $600 to $800 an hour.
And they're Apaches, because they're obviously ours. I don't know, though, if they would have probably through CGI, they may have just filmed one or so. And
it's possible.
But, I mean, still, it looks really good. So.
Yeah. So we're impressed. Now, actually, we can go a little bit into the history of Godzilla, since you actually do know a lot of this.
Was
Godzilla really the first kaiju movie, the original one from 55?
It was 54.
54?
Yes.
Oh, no, 55 was here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was the original. I don't think of any other giant monster movies before that. It really started the whole genre, the kaiju genre. And, you know, it's in like, allegory, metaphor for the atomic bomb.
Yes.
And the fears. So it really started out as kind
of a... That's why this Godzilla movie's coming out. This is a reaction to Fukushima.
Oh.
And this one, Godzilla was created by Fukushima.
I've read some stuff
about that.
So
probably woke him up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously. He's been asleep for a while, you know. It's time to get up and eat.
Yeah, but I always found
that's why
that
he's grumpy. They woke him up.
Well, he's grumpy because he's Godzilla. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
But no, what I always found interesting about that original 1954 or 55 version was if you actually watch both the original Japanese and the original American, how much difference there actually is.
Yeah.
And then for the second one, the American version with Raymond Burr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How the parts with him, you can see that he's green-screened in, but it actually fits. They actually did a pretty good job of fitting him into the movie without having to change too much.
Yeah. Right.
So. Oh, yeah. Both of them are real. They're really good. Good movies. And you can, like, you know, they have, like, the Criterion Collection or whatever that you can get out with both of them. And you know, I highly recommend that. And then, you know, over time, he becomes a little more campy. Then he's, like, you know, more like the kid's friend. Kind
of up
thing.
Into the 70s
it,
there.
It always seems that Godzilla kind of reflects the times. You know, you have Godzilla versus Hedorah, and he's taking on, like, garbage and nuclear sludge and all this stuff. And then they get into the Heisei era, Godzilla 1984, which we had Godzilla 1985 here in his reboot. And then the great story arc that was the entire Heisei era, where they kind of reimage all of the classic Godzilla movies, or Godzilla monsters in the movies like Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, the second one, and Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, the second one, all these in the 90s. And then after that story arc finished with was Godzilla vs. Destroyer, I believe, they went to like the Millennium series, and that was each standalone movies, and that started with the Godzilla 1999,
which here was Godzilla 2000, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, because we have that one.
Yeah, and then they were, and that was the last. That was the last Godzilla movie, Japanese Godzilla movie, that was actually dubbed and released in theaters in the United States.
Well, actually, I find the other story interesting when it comes. You're talking about being the last Japanese one, but the whole deal when they made the 98. American Godzilla movie.
Yes.
And how there actually was last I heard, there was an actual agreement written up between Sony and Toho that Sony would make the Godzilla movie and Toho wouldn't make anything for 4 or 5 years or something like that, so that the Sony movie could actually gain some traction and make some money. But wasn't it like 3 weeks after that movie came out that Toho said, you know what, we're making our own movie again?
Not really sure on that story, but
it was something
sense
like that.
Because
the next movie came out within a year of the Godzilla movie.
Well, because the American Godzilla movie really... sadly, I guess it was not made by people who understood what Godzilla was.
Yeah.
Right.
The Godzilla movie in 2014...
Yes.
...with Legendary, they realized all the mistakes that had been made. And they made a Godzilla movie that at least stayed true to the character. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, talk about, oh, well, he's barely seen in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 5 minutes of screen time or something. But, I mean, that really does harken back to, like, the adventure movies of the 70s and 80s when the great reveal was the wait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the pacing of Blade Runner, which is considered a classic, it is a very slow movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this Godzilla movie is slow in that pacing to get to the climax of seeing Godzilla. But I think that's part of what makes that a really good movie. It's because at the end of the movie, you're like, oh, I really want more Godzilla. Because I want to see more of him. Because you just get just a little hint of how awesome and complex, actually, a character this Godzilla is. So you want more of it. And I think that's very important because it's going to drive the franchise even to the point where I guess where my understanding is we're now getting a Godzilla versus King Kong movie sometime around 20.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's what I heard, yeah.
As long as Godzilla wins this time, I don't care. That's great.
I don't think American I can watch this.
Yeah, it's Legendary.
Yeah.
The same people who did the new American Godzilla. Yeah, well, for that one that Legendary did, didn't they actually bring in a lot of the Toho people to, at least for advisors and consultants for that?
I believe that they brought in, well,
because I think it was a co-release with Toho.
They wanted to get the, well, right, because in Japan was the very last place that the 2014 Godzilla was released. You want to get the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure, because you want to stay true for the fans, and that's one of the things they did do. And the design was actually a really good design. I mean, yeah, he had, like, the amazing, like, hip-thigh things going on, but, you know, it makes sense in the fact that he's carrying a lot of weight,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably why he spends most of the time in the ocean. So, I mean, you get these things, and the reveal, and I think that the idea, though, with Godzilla is that you really want to focus on the antagonist of the other two creatures what they're doing, and that basically no matter what we as humans were doing, we weren't really doing a good job, other than mostly just destroying our own stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And Godzilla's the guy who just, like, shows up and's like, don't worry, I got this. But he does it in his very Godzilla way, which is what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then with, like, the fire breath, etc., that you get, you get the sense, because he uses it very sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you see after he uses it, he's normally tapped out. And you'd figure, okay, well, if you got a guy who's, you know, just with a force breath, just blew out like 100,000 calories, obviously he's not going to be, you know, I just ran that marathon, now I'm just going to sit and have some water for a bit. So if you guys could take care of this for a while with your weird, let's blow him up with something else that'll just blow up the city, it'll be fine, and I'm just going to lay down for a bit.
Well, so,
I mean, really, it makes sense, in a storytelling way, it makes sense, but also makes sense in the fact that if you're going to use Godzilla as an actual, like, semblance of a biological creature.
Right,
yeah.
You're going to expect something like that.
Well, another thing...
Making
you
real and not a unicorn.
They don't treat him like a dragon. Like, dragons seem to have an inexhaustible amount for the ability, you know, they're breathing fire. Yeah. And, you know, they're flying around, but I can get Godzilla. And you're right, you know, because generally when you see him, he's walking through and knocking this down, the tail is... But then he goes... and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna chill, you know.
Actually, just you had brought up... I'm going to go back to another point for just a moment. You had brought up the point that really Godzilla had very little screen time in the American version. But if you go back to the original Godzilla from the 50s, if I remember right... That movie was, maybe an hour and a half long or two, somewhere in there. And you had, like, an hour of nothing but watching what he did.
Yeah, there's not a lot of screen time.
There was little screen time for Godzilla in that movie. But, like you said, that makes it so that when he does show up on screen, it's so amazing because you've seen what he has already done.
Right.
And how much destruction this thing can do so that you don't have to see him do it. You know that this... can be done.
And when they do show what he does, they're awesome moments of seeing what he does. So it's not like he's wasted on screen. He wasn't put on screen to be put on screen then. He's put on screen for for poignant storytelling.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Well, that's like you were saying where Godzilla, like, especially in the 70s, started to get real campy.
It was almost like a typhoon. You saw the aftermath, but you didn't know what caused it.
Exactly. But you were saying how it got campy through the 70s and stuff, and how it's like that original Godzilla movie and this new one from the Legendary films put out, you could tell they weren't trying to go for camp. They were trying to make a serious monster movie. Something that, for them at that point, was a horror movie.
Exactly, and they do a very good job. Yeah. And now with Resurgence, it looks like, you know, Japan is going it's a different take, maybe slightly similar, but
in the same direction.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have two paths that wide, but instead of going left and right, they went forward left and forward right. So they're still going parallel in the same direction, just two different people making.
They're paying true to the character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is going to be a pretty amazing movie that comes out when we get to see it.
Exactly.
In 2028.
Well, no, the Japanese movies, a lot of times I've noticed, they don't announce way ahead of time what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But, like, right before the Blu-ray drops in Japan, they'll do, like, a one-week run here.
Yeah.
And then drop the Blu-ray here.
Or it'll just end up... it'll end up somewhere. So, hopefully.
Or Greg will get a hold of a copy of it somehow through the internets, and we'll watch it that way.
Everything gets beamed from space these days.
So.
Greg, thanks for talking some Godzilla.
Sure, no problem.
Since the last time I saw you, Rogue One trailer dropped. Now, we've talked about Rogue One and what we thought about the trailer. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the Rogue One trailer?
I liked it, actually. I was surprised. I wasn't too sure what to expect, but seeing all the stormtroopers and seeing the guy who's dressed up as, an Imperial Security Bureau or Grand Admiral. I can't really
know. No, the white uniform?
Yeah, is that the Imperial Security Bureau?
There should be a Grand Admiral.
Okay, because he had the cape, and I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Well, Grand Admirals are the only ones with a white uniform. Yes. Remember, Thrawn had one.
Imperial Security Bureau has a white uniform. You see it in the original Star Wars when they're all sitting around the table with Grand Moff Tarkin. So,
Andy's killing a racket.
Yes. So, but that's Imperial Security Bureau, and that's also white.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know which one, but I'm just excited to see that. And, of course, I guess, full disclosure, I'm totally an Empire guy, so, you know.
See, that's what's interesting. Kylan and I are anti-Empire like the rest of the world should be, and Greg decided he likes the Empire in the First Order.
Yeah, because they're
and amazing. The wives are Sith, so take your pick.
There you go, and Bard is Bard.
Yeah.
I'm Switzerland.
There you go.
Bard's Mandalorian. Now,
you know what? Either Bard's either Mandalorian
that
or
means
he's
Alderaan,
the
Hutts. Right?
Are you Mandalorian, Bart?
No, Bart sides with the Hutts. He's all about making the money.
Mandalorians are still a bit... I mean, they're still in the... I mean, they may not have a side, but they're still in the war effort. They'll attack whoever can. I've noticed on Rebels, they'll attack whoever is in their way.
Right.
Well, some of us haven't been able to watch the half.
Yeah, we've got to watch the second half of the season. Because,
of Rebels?
Yeah, know the whole debacle with Disney and Amazon.
Oh, right, yes. Okay.
Is
that still going on?
I refuse to pay for the second half of the season.
I thought they would have... worked that one out by now.
No.
That's because he won't let his wife, he won't release his wife.
Actually, I'm about to let her. She's going to call People Magazine tomorrow anyway to let them have it. I'm going to put her on Amazon then right after that and get us the rest of the season.
Oh, okay.
The season is over now, so it
might
be
I know.
Soon.
That's, the worst part is, everybody here knows I listen to a bunch of Star Wars podcasts.
Yeah.
For the last month, I've not been able to listen to any of them because they're all talking about the end of Rebels. And I don't want to know about
good.
It. Yeah. I don't want to know about it until I've seen it.
Right.
So I have a backlog of 12 or 20 hours of podcasts waiting to be listened to because I couldn't listen to them yet.
Who would have thought that Darth Vader Jar Jar was the best thing ever.
So actually, we may be able to talk to our friend Greg and he can figure out a way for us to watch it.
And Leia's dad.
But Rogue One did look pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty excited. That's actually the same director who did the Godzilla 2014.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's why I figured it's a nice correlation direct over.
So I'm excited about it, and actually, I saw already they have there's an article online where somebody breaks down all the different stormtrooper uniforms and their variations from the original. And it's actually quite an interesting article, just talking about we've not ever seen this one before, or look how their uniforms are slightly different in this area that way. And of course, he speculates that obviously, and I'm just paraphrasing it. I don't actually remember the article itself, or I would have probably should give credit. But he does speculate that some of it could be because, there are a lot more action scenes, so they need to have some small changes in order to be able to run easier. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, that's obviously they said that actually for episode 8 or 7, if I remember right, some of the changes to the Stormtrooper uniforms for the First Order troopers was for added mobility. Because the original Stormtrooper armor wasn't all that mobile.
No. That's true, and I think they went around and their helmets just popped off anyway. So it's like that. Yeah, so.
Well,
that's
why they couldn't hit anything. They couldn't see out of those buckets.
Exactly.
If you ask if you ask any of the troopers from the 501st, they can't see out of those things either. They haven't figured out how to do it yet.
You figure that they're, so you have the Imperial
eyes.
Royal
yeah.
Guards, right?
Right, yeah.
So they have the little slit that they can see out of. Well, that's going to protect the Empire or Emperor, not at all, because, all you have to do is look, I have no peripheral vision, and I'm seeing out of the small slit. Do you figure they just have, an amazing sensor heads-up display in there?
I've always assumed that for all the Stormtroopers, was that they have visual enhancements built in.
Exactly, that would be giving them all that kind of information. And, of course, it may have been addressed 40,000 times in, the Legends stuff now. But I was just figuring, that would make sense because you figure you have this technology and why would you not be using, especially if you're going to have this full armor that's going on. And actually, I talked to Kai, I know this is slightly off topic, We were talking about Traitor, remember?
Yeah. Okay. That's true, yeah.
So, you know, he became that big, the TR-8R.
Yes.
He says Traitor to,
Finn's Finn's partner from the Stormtroopers.
Exactly. Was he 99s or zeros? I can't remember which one.
I don't know.
But, so, he became that internet meme, right?
Yeah.
Just went nuts. So... Evidently, the Lucasfilm, the story committee, keepers of now what's canon.
The story group.
Yeah, the story group. So, one of them came out, and they said...
Probably Pablo. It's either Pablo or Leland Chi, usually.
Well, it was one of them. They came out, and they said that that character ended up becoming pretty popular. And,
yeah.
You know, they had the side story in the book about it. And he said that character might not be dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know because I talked to Kyle about it because I hadn't realized that until I mentioned that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There was they'd come out with a statement because evidently, I guess they want to kind of keep it open now, you know, keep it open because it's an interesting storyline. In fact, this person has this righteous anger of, hey, you really are a traitor, kind of thing. But I'm interested to see if, in fact, this is true and they do bring Traitor back. How they're going to do it, because they've already established that Stormtrooper armor's crap.
Oh, yeah. But this is First Order Stormtrooper armor.
It is. But also, and he does have the Riot armor on.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But they've also, throughout the whole movie up to that point, they talk about Chewie's bowcaster being this amazingly powerful weapon, and that's what...
That Han has no problem wielding.
That's what he gets shot with. Mm-hmm. So, if he's alive, or was just wounded because it was, like, here or something, and... I think that would make an amazing storyline, but I really would want to know, because obviously, if he's alive, I would assume just about every Stormtrooper that's been shot in the entire movie, and all the movies, should be alive.
Well, yeah.
Except for the ones that Poe...
See, that's the secret.
...gets at with the X-Wing gun at the very beginning. I'm assuming that's probably even more powerful than the bowcaster.
Possibly. So, well, see, that's the secret to the Empire and the First Order's military. The fact that they don't have that many recruits. They just recycle them, because as you shoot them down, they just go get new armor and they're fine.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the ones that he shot down in the TIE fighter that he stole, you know.
Yeah.
I know we're jumping around a bit, but another thing, I really did like the General Hux character in Star Wars, 7? And I'm really interested to see more of him, because, you know, I'm assuming we're going to get a pretty decent backstory.
Oh, yeah.
With him. So are they Kylo Ren and
him
together?
What, are you shipping him? Are you shipping Hux and Kylo Ren?
No, everybody else is.
Oh.
So
Hux and Kylo Ren is the First Order's version of... Finn and Poe Dameron?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, you have to do something.
That's the internet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Welcome to the internet. So, actually, I think we are running up close to time, guys. Greg, thanks for being on the show.
Sure.
They're not here, but I want to thank Rick and Andy. And who else did we have as guest stars on this show? We had Bart here with us, Vicky and Kylan, and who else did we have? Jim is actually running around, but Geeksters, as always, you can find us at... www.geekwatch1.com. On there, you can find our sponsors page. And on the sponsors page, it has all kinds of affiliates and sponsors. And if you want to get comic books, we have a comic book vendor. We have t-shirt vendors.
We do.
And none of those cost you any extra. You just go to their site, order what you'd run normally, and just because you went through our website, they'll give us a couple of pennies for every $100 you spend.
Yes, they will.
Woo-hoo. And it's probably something like that. But also, we have Amazon links. If you want to check any of these, the EU from Star Wars, any of the comic books, if you want to get your Godzilla movies,
or if you haven't gotten Episode 7 yet,
exactly, they have Episode 7. They have all of this on Amazon. Just go to the GeekWatch1.com, click on the Amazon link.
It'll take you there. When it comes out, because you can see me.
Yeah, buy the bronze. You can see Vicky clear as day in the two scenes. She's right. Front and center in it. You can't miss her. And it was actually a funny, funny movie. So, but
hey,
don't show the kids.
Seriously, it gave Deadpool a bunch of money.
Yeah. But, so that's the sponsors. You can also find us at GeekWatch1 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Send us email at geekwatch1@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about the First Order versus the Resistance, or the Jedi versus the Empire. You can let us know what you think about Godzilla. What do you think? Were we spot on with it? Were we not? Anything else? Send us an email at geekwatch1@gmail.com. You can also find us on the networks of the Tangent Bound Network and the new home of Geekwatch 1's podcast, WeebieGeeksPC.com.
There you go.
Or WeebieGeeks.net. Takes you to the same place.
Yep.
But from there, that's where you can actually get our RSS feeds, let us know, or to download us. Yeah. I still can't talk. Almost 50 episodes and I still can't talk.
Download Kylan.
One other thing, guys. Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Look up GeekWatch 1 and leave a review. It doesn't have to be 5-star. We want to know what you actually think about the show. This is maybe scary. But leave us a review. Let us know what you think. The 5-star reviews help us get higher up so people can find us easier. But iTunes is the big one. Leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what's going on. The only way we can gauge if you're enjoying the show is if you leave a review and tell us. So, other than that, I think, Kylan, do you have anything else before the show ends?
I'm good, man.
And Vicky, you have anything else that's safe for the show?
read my blog when it comes out, when this comes out. Tiger blank, 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 you will understand.
Kylan's going to die as soon as we tell him the name of the blog. And Bart's already dying because he's read it already. So, Bart, do you have anything else before we take off?
Not now. Probably in about a month I will, but not right now. Wait till closer to that.
Okay. All right. So, since you guys are the ones here, so for Bart, for Kylan, for Ms. Vicky, and for myself, just remember...
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.